What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Two Dumbasses and a Wise Guy show. This is episode number 4, titled Low Tide. Max Lerner is out of office, and we will have Josh Bagwell, the Parlay King, filling in for him himself. We go over our Wise Guy of the Week. Alongside that, we have our Pick'em recap from last week, and we go over the top 10 games. We talk Chris Peterson stepping down at Washington. We talk how the 2014 playoff shaped college football today. Peyton goes over Dabo Swinney's rant, so to say. And Josh will have a sizzling conference championship parlay for us. We also head to Boca Raton to talk to senior Florida Atlantic wide receiver Dante Cousart, which we are very excited about. And then we also will hit our pick'em for conference championship weekend. We're going to dive right in. Let's go. What's up, everybody? We are live again here with everyone's favorite Gamecock, Showtime Shore.
What's going on?
We have a special guest this week. We have the Parlay King himself, Josh Bagwell, joining us, filling in for Max. Josh, how are you?
I'm doing good. It's an honor to be on the podcast.
We are happy to have you with our first ever guest host and our first ever interview. So really excited about that. We'll get to that in a little bit. First off, we're going to start with our Wise Guy of the Week. After 2 weeks of the only wise guy being Peyton Shore, and yours truly has taken the honor this week. And I want to tell all my fans out there, first off, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for looking over me. I want to thank my fans. I want to thank my family, everybody who's had my back through this journey. We finally made it to the top. So
I'm kind of happy for you, Cam. I'm kind of happy for you, buddy.
I do appreciate it. I know it's tough to pass the crown, but, you know, your reign was good. It's over now.
I'll let you borrow it for a week.
Cam, you got my sympathy vote.
Well, if we go over last week's pick'em, Max went 9-1 against the spread, an impressive number. Ken was 5-5, as average as it gets. And Peyton went 1-9, which is abysmal. You make a Parlay King embarrassed to
good
be here.
God.
Rivalry week hasn't been too friendly to us Gamecocks lately. We don't quite know what we're doing on that this week.
Well, you can say that again. Well, we're going to go ahead and we're going to touch on how the top 10 looked for rivalry week. The first game, we had Ohio State 56, Michigan 27. Josh, did you catch any of this? I know you weren't at the Clemson game, so me and Peyton were. We didn't get a chance to watch any of it. So what was your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. No, we called it. We had about 3 TVs going dad's living room, so we had a lot of games going on, and that was on the second TV. You know, Michigan actually moved the ball a lot better than I expected, specifically through the air against Ohio State's defense early on in the game. You know, Ohio State just kept wearing them down as the game went on, and eventually their offense definitely, you know, lit up Michigan, as you could tell by the 56 points they put on them. But, yeah, no, like I said, I mean, I was surprised to see Michigan be able to move the ball as much as they did at the beginning of the game, for sure.
Peyton, did you catch any highlights?
Yeah, I went back and looked at it and watched some highlights and looked into the game. And I mean, if Michigan had any chance at winning this game, they had to keep it relatively low scoring. I know they did move the ball pretty well, but they weren't ever going to be able to keep up with Ohio State if their defense didn't perform.
And did anybody see how many tackles Chase Young had?
At one point, I know he had like 0.
He had 0. for the whole game.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
And never forget that Peyton Shore called him Jadeveon Clowney. So.
Well, ain't nobody Clowney, but that guy's still pretty doggone good.
Well, he may have taken the game off like Clowney.
Maybe he did. Clowney did that a time or two. We still managed to win most of them. But.
Yeah, y'all did that. Next
about game, yeah. Hey, about Michigan, is it? A bunch of people are talking about Harbaugh. I saw a little bit on these talk shows today. Is it? Do y'all think it's fair to question him at this point?
I kind of took one of the talking heads on ESPN's stance. He said that Michigan needs realistic expectations, and for them, I don't think that the playoffs every year is a realistic expectation when they do have to play Ohio State every year. I mean, that's it's not the ACC. They're not Clemson. They're not Alabama. And given Alabama plays a bunch of good teams, but you know, they've proven themselves as top notch. But Michigan's just not there yet. And I think that Harbaugh is a Michigan guy through and through. But I won't be surprised if some team from the next level comes calling.
Yeah, and to add on to that, Kenneth. Michigan actually has only won one national championship since 1948. Wow. And they're built up to be this huge program, which they're great. They've got a lot of history, but in recency, you know, the modern era, they haven't done as much as people realize. And you know, as much as they're paying Harbaugh, man, he's got to produce a little bit better than he's been producing, especially beating Ohio State. You got to find a way to beat them at least once. I mean, come on, man.
So you're on the fire.
Yeah, I mean, in regards to his price, what they're paying him, he needs to produce. But like what you're saying with expectations, they haven't really done much in the modern era of college football. So it's kind of a
You're kind of riding the fence there, Bagman.
Kind of riding the fence there. I got two sides there, but that's more bag other than
that. Yeah. Yeah, I kind of side more with Kenneth. I mean, I think the thing is, like, it is tough. They're right with Ohio State, Wisconsin, Penn State. I mean, they play all those teams every year, and it's tough to be in the college football playoff picture every single year. And it's one of those things, like, if you fire Harbaugh, who are you going to get that you are sure is going to do a better job than he's done? I mean, you're still winning 9-10 games every year.
Well, yeah, you're right. And we'll that's kind of – again, that's the relative success. they're probably expected to win 9 or 10 games every year.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, I don't think you can necessarily say at this point, like, Harbaugh is never going to get them to the point where Ohio State's at. I know they're not happy with 9 or 10, but we've seen Michigan worse when they've had some bad coaches before. And Harbaugh's definitely not a bad coach.
Yeah. Well, next game, number 2, we're in the Bayou. Senior night, Joe Burrow, BURREAUX, 50-7 over the Texas A&M Aggies. I'm going to start out by saying that, like, I'm a big Joe Burrow fan. I like him. I think he as a person is a good guy. I like the swagger that he brings to Baton Rouge. He just I think he's the epitome of LSU football. You know, him and Coach O, really, they're the face of this rebuild and the spread offense that has just, you know, brought them back to the top. They're great. Peyton, I think this was the only game you picked against the spread correctly. You took LSU, so I'm going to let you have your moment of glory.
Oh, well, I might have picked them, but I wasn't – I kind of thought it would be a competitive ball game after I thought about it all week. But, I mean, I definitely wasn't. Mon was really, really bad. I mean, 10 for 30, 92 yards, 8.5 QBR. I mean, it was just – yeah, he was really bad. Well, and I didn't watch it close enough to know if he was that bad or you wouldn't think LSU's defense would be that good after what we've seen, but it was a big statement to hold them to 7 points.
Oh, no doubt. Josh, what did you think?
Well, you know, going into that game, I've been dogging LSU's defense, talking about how bad they are and how we're not going to punt against them whenever we match up with them in the semifinal, hopefully.
Good Lord.
Dabo thinks y'all might miss, even with a win, from what I hear.
Shit. Well, hey, man, the media sure as hell wants it.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you this, man, that defense showed up Saturday night. I was really surprised by that. I don't care if Mon played bad, whatever. That defense played a lot better than I've seen this whole season. So I've kind of flipped the switch on LSU a little bit. That's a pretty damn good team right there. So I was really impressed with them.
Well, we know where the third-ranked team in the country played on Saturday. Peyton and I were in attendance. We got to have a couple Diet Millers together. Peyton had some more than I did. I'll tell everybody that. He was in rare form on Saturday. And so, anyways, final score, Clemson 38-3. This could have been so much more worse. And, you know, I don't care that it wasn't worse, but it just it was a boring-ass game. You know, it was tough to sit through and watch, and it was just – it was boring. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. Clemson did what they had to do, and South Carolina didn't do anything. Yeah. So, Peyton, I know you – I'm going to call you out. You left with 2 minutes to go in the third quarter, so everybody can not vote him wise guy again. He's a crappy fan.
I'll be honest, I thought you were going to say he left in the second quarter.
Well, there were some fans that did leave in the second quarter.
Listen.
Damn, I'm not surprised.
The team didn't there show have up been... at all.
You know, I guess it wasn't a bad game at that point, but
there have been – speaking of that, there have been I can count on one hand. I don't even think this is one of the two or three games that I've left before the clock was basically running out, and I couldn't take this one anymore. I mean, it was just – you took the words out of my mouth. It was just a boring game. It was tough to stomach. And to your point, I tried to make the Diet Millers not let me remember what exactly went on, but I woke up Sunday and I remember perfectly. It was a slobber knocker. We get the big goal line stand. Willie B was really loud and hyped up, and then you get the quick interception, two quick touchdowns. I mean, it was just honestly after that, man, I was just like standing there just numb. I was just like, I left early. There was nothing. I never had 1 ounce of hope we were going to do anything.
Now, where did you go whenever you left, Peyton? Did you go back to the tailgate or did you go to a bar?
No, we hung out in the fairgrounds for a little bit. Just kind of wallowed in our sorrow.
Went and found some more Diet Millers.
Yeah, I had to go find some more of them. But
there you go.
Peyton, I imagine Brian McClendon tried to draw up a few more slants and bubble screens, a little quick out routes. I've been beating that horse all year, and hopefully we're done with seeing that.
I'm going to mention one thing before we move on, one last little jab that I got to get in there. I know you said that you can count on one hand how many games you've left early, but can you count on one hand how many games Clemson has won in a row versus South Carolina? No, it takes two hands now. All right, next game.
Hey, that was actually a good one. I hate it, but that was a good one.
I'm glad you like that. Next game, we go to Atlanta, where that Pickens fella, some clean hate in Georgia, that Pickens fella grabbed the Georgia Tech defensive back, or I guess he was the wide receiver. He grabbed him by the face mask and beat his head against the wall. And now that was that was fun to watch. It was, you know, anytime you see little scuffles, you don't want to see anybody get hurt. But this one was another slobber knocking, to take the words from Peyton, 52-7. I'm going to touch on Georgia later. I don't want to talk about this game because it's boring again, whatever. Oh, yeah. Next, we go to the Plains. Auburn, the Tigers, take down the Alabama Crimson Tide, 48-7.
to 45. And if you listen closely, I think you can still hear that ball hit the upright. It was so loud. the cameras picked it up. I mean, it was this was an awesome, awesome game. Josh, I know you were glued to the TV for this one, whether it was TV 1, 2, or 3. What did you think?
Kent, did you say me? You were kind of breaking up right there.
Yep, Josh, I got you. We're heading to you for a weather report.
I got you. All right. Well, I'll tell you what happened. So, Auburn won the game, so guess what? Craziness had to happen. We had the kick six in 2013. We had the 100-yard pick six this game. We had 5 touchdowns scored under 6 minutes ago in the first half. That 1 second being added back on at the end of the first half as well. That was some crazy-ass shit, was it not? And let me tell you, I don't know how they're able to spot the ball and then snap it with 1 second on the clock. So I thought it was a little bit suspect. But an incredible game. Absolutely no defense whatsoever. Really good for Alabama, though. He balled out. But great game. Best game of the day. Probably the best game of the year, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Peyton, I caught the whole second half on TV. So how much of it did you get to see?
I got to watch about the fourth quarter. We had made our way to a little bar. We were watching it in the fourth quarter.
Oh, but okay.
I went back and
I'll talk about the second half.
I went back and rewatched it though. I watched.
Oh, did you?
But go ahead.
I know how you Carolina fans. Y'all gotta, if you lose, you gotta catch up on how Alabama's doing.
I had to prepare for the pod, man. It's a huge game.
So basically for me, the whole Alabama game, I can say that I never anticipated what we saw. I'm happy for all of my Auburn friends. Shout out everybody down there. And Josh, Peyton, I'm gonna send it to you because you was talking about how you caught the second half at the bar. So tell me what you thought about that second half.
I mean, what a wild game. That was that was college football at its finest, but I mean, it was crazy. I mean, Alabama actually let Mac Jones kind of wheel it. I mean, they threw the ball, I want to say something right at like 40 some times. It was almost like they didn't expect to stop Auburn, but it was crazy. Yeah, Jordan Hayward's rocking. I thought if Auburn was going to win this game, which I thought they had a chance, but I thought if they were going to win it, they were going to have to win it something like 27-24, not 48-45. Their offense hadn't been that explosive all year.
Yep. Well, moving on, next game, Utah played Colorado. They won 45-15. Don't really feel a need to touch on that too much. In Bedlam, Oklahoma won 34-16. This was a good game for a little bit. Oklahoma covered the spread. There were no real upsets for rivalry week other than that Alabama game. And
speaking on, everybody likes to talk about when rivalry week comes up, you know, you can throw the records out the window, like anybody could win this game with the emotions and everything. I almost think it's almost harder to win rivalry games as the underdog because you're never going to be overlooked. Oklahoma's never going to overlook Oklahoma State. Clemson's never going to overlook South Carolina. I mean, I think that saying's almost for naught now.
Mm-hmm.
The only other thing that I kind of wanted to hit on, Baylor won 61-6 over Kansas. Penn State beat Rutgers 27-6 with a backup quarterback. Peyton, your Minnesota row the boat Gophers lost 17-38 to Wisconsin. So that was what did you think? Your boy, you still want him in Columbia? Or I mean, obviously y'all aren't getting a new guy. You're getting an offensive coordinator, but would you still take him?
I think I would still take you, man. It's still pretty crazy even to have Minnesota in the conversation.
Yeah.
And like I've touched on before, he's not doing it with elite talent across the board. This has obviously been a good coaching job.
Yeah, for sure.
But they had their chance. Minnesota, actually, they scored first. I went back and looked at this game, but they scored first, and then they got a fumble from Wisconsin, but they threw a pick on that very next drive, and it was pretty much all Wisconsin from that point on.
Well, with it being Tuesday night, we have new college football playoff rankings. Your top four remained the same. Number five spot goes to Utah. Number six, Oklahoma. Number seven, Baylor. And then Alabama is outside of the top 10. Josh, I want you to set the stage for conference championship weekend with everything that we know now. What's your top four? You know, we kind of hit on it a couple of weeks ago, and I said that Clemson and Utah were going to make the national championship. What's your take?
Well, I mean, I can't disagree with the top four for this week. You know, you got to have Georgia in there, but, you know, LSU, Georgia are playing, so Georgia's probably going to drop out. And I feel like Utah's going to slide into that fourth spot. You know, the top three are going to stay the same. The only team that I could see maybe contending with that would be Oklahoma. You know, especially getting a top 10 win this week would be big. That might be able to catapult them, but my opinion, I think Utah's going to take that fourth spot. So I'm pretty similar to your thoughts there, Kenneth.
So with what you just said, though, you said that you only could see Oklahoma jumping in. Well, why not Baylor? They would get a top 10 win in a conference championship weekend.
That's a good question. You know, like I was telling you earlier, man, not a lot of people are thinking about them. And I don't really have an answer for you. That's a good point, man. They probably would be somebody that would be in the conversation. But, again, I don't see them jumping Utah. I think Utah is going to be that fourth team. So, I'm going to stick with that.
Peyton, anything?
Yeah, I think it would be you just touched on Baylor, and that went through my mind. If Baylor were to beat Oklahoma, I think if Oklahoma and Utah wins, Utah gets in because Oklahoma's got that real bad loss. But if Baylor were to beat Oklahoma, their one loss of the season would be to what was the sixth-ranked team in the country in the conference championship. So I think – and that would be their one loss. But I think you would Baylor's resume would arguably be more impressive than Utah's if that were to happen.
So, but in that case, are you saying that Baylor could catapult Utah even if Utah wins?
Yeah, I think it would be – I think blind resume, I think they would have probably the more impressive resume considering the two losses the teams have are one Southern Cal and one's Oklahoma. I'm not sure the playoff committee is going to do that. I think they might – they've kind of been pumping the Pac-12 ever since it came out, but – in my opinion, I think Baylor – if I had to pick, I'd probably go with Baylor.
Wow. I can say that.
Would that not be something?
That is hot.
A blind resume, you look at them blind, who's got the better loss and who's got more quality wins, and I'd say both of them probably go to Baylor.
Well, let me add this. Utah is ahead of Oklahoma right now. Now, if you look at Oklahoma's resume right now, who do you actually think has a better resume? Do you think Utah has a better resume, or do you think Oklahoma does?
No, I think Oklahoma's a better team. I think, like, if you played head-to-head, I think Oklahoma wins 7 times out of 10.
Right. But what I'm saying is, and what I saw on the ESPN earlier, they're saying that the committee is making a statement putting Utah ahead of Oklahoma right now. And there's really not much that Oklahoma is going to be able to do other than just a freaking blowout in the conference championship game to get ahead of Utah. And the same could be said for Baylor. I think they're pretty much the same situation, Oklahoma and Baylor.
Yeah. Well, the other big story this week, Washington head coach Chris Peterson steps down
today in a press conference. He said that stress and anxiety kind of caused it, and he did not rule out coaching again, which is interesting because I for sure think that the Trojans in Southern California would give him a buzz. Get that damn yapper out of here.
I can't help it, man.
Sorry for that, folks. We had some technical difficulties with Showtime Shore's dog right there. We're going to dive right back into where we were, talking about Chris Peterson stepping down and not ruling out coaching and potentially going to Southern Cal. Peyton, I'm going to send it to you since you were the reason that we had to stop and start over. What do you think about Coach Peterson's options here?
I mean, I find it interesting that he left the door open for to come back and coach in the future. I think this is one of those things. It's surprising that he's stepping down because he's had Washington on a pretty good run. But I think this is definitely a name that we're going to be seeing thrown around for every big coaching job for the next 5 years, and I think he'll probably take one, much like Urban Meyer.
Yeah, that's what I was fixing to say. Josh, what's your input?
It was pretty shocking, man. You know, I honestly think he's a Hall of Fame, a College Football Hall of Fame type coach. And I agree with what Peyton said. He's going to be a hot commodity when it comes to, you know, the coaching carousel, you know, in the next few years to come, because I'm sure he'll come back. He's still got a lot of coaching in front of him. So, you know, it was just a surprising thing to see. I did not expect it.
Well, with that, we're going to move into our soapbox kind of section. Peyton's going to talk about Dabo and his little post-game comments first. So, Peyton, the floor is yours. Please don't disrespect Coach any more than you have to.
Look here. I'm going to rant on Dabo's rant. This poor old overlooked Clemson narrative that he keeps pushing has gotten so old. I mean – it's making him look a bit ridiculous. I saw something on Twitter today comparing Dabo to that, you know, that hot chick that constantly complains about something with her looks or needs to lose weight. Oh, it's my nose. Oh, it's my... Just shut up already. You're doing it for attention. We know you're this hot, sexy team. Like, you don't have to do this stuff. I mean, all this for is to motivate players or attention. I think the players kind of have to know by now that it's bullshit. I mean, granted, the question that was asked to him was a awful question. I don't know who asked that question, but they need their media license revoked. But, I mean, he made the statement about Georgia staying in playoff contention after a loss to us, South Carolina, and that Clemson would have dropped out if we would have happened to beat them. Well, that's true because Georgia has a number of good wins, and Clemson wouldn't have that. They wouldn't have any, like, really, really good wins. So, I mean, that's just the nature of the beast. I mean, that's what's going to happen. If you don't have any quality wins and you lose a game to a 4-8 team, I mean, you would drop out. I think it's just a bit ridiculous. It's just tired and old.
Well, you know, with that, Peyton, maybe y'all's coach should try and motivate the players by saying something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll be the first to say that this season hasn't been good and we've looked really bad, but
no shit.
I don't think motivation or the guys playing hard has been the issue. I'll say that.
What was?
Well,
that's
we can
not
talk.
What we're here for.
That's not what we're here for. But the Dabo rant, this whole thing has just gotten so tired. I mean, it's just ridiculous by this point.
Poor baby. Tired of listening to Dabo win.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. Well, it's ridiculous. The way he – oh, yeah, yeah. The way I put it, that analogy was about the best way to put it.
Oh, I guess. But the thing is, like, what he says – I'll say that what he says holds weight had we played South Carolina in the middle of the year. It's different playing them at the end of the year. But had we lost this game, you know, if they replace
Well, let's say the Carolina game's week four.
Yeah.
And we lose.
Yeah.
Then I mean,
I don't think you would have gotten in. I think if you would have dropped any game, if you were 11-1, I don't care who it was on the schedule you lost to, whoever y'all played week four, I couldn't tell you. But the North Carolina game, I think if you would have lost the North Carolina game, I don't believe y'all would be in the playoffs.
Well, so you're essentially saying that Clemson was 1 point away from being a worse team than Oklahoma or Utah.
I'm just saying, if you look at it the way I think
you said.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think y'all would have. I don't think y'all would have been a worse team. But if you're looking at the resume, then I don't think y'all would have deserved to get in. Just like Oklahoma, Utah. I think Utah should get in, even though I think Oklahoma's the better team. When you're looking at their losses, the resume is what I would go back to.
Well, okay. I'm just going to let you harp on how much it, you know, how bad of winners we are. Well, as long as we keep winning, I'm not going to get mad at Coach.
Coach
Dabo.
I don't blame you, but it looks pretty silly to the rest of the country.
I had the pleasure of giving Coach Dabo a high five after the game on Saturday up near the fence. I hope he saw my hat run the damn ball.
By the way, y'all didn't run the damn ball that well against us.
Well, that's because y'all's defensive line of Ken Law and Wanham both they stepped up and played well, and they contained ETN.
I had to get you to give South Carolina some form of compliment. I knew I could get it that way.
You could get it, yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm going to go ahead and talk before we get to Josh. What I want to talk about is the 2014 Big Ten Championship game shaped college football into what it is today. So Ohio State was playing Wisconsin. Wisconsin had two losses. They're ranked like 12, playing a one-loss Ohio State. Ohio State's on their third-string quarterback, Cardale Jones. Given this team was great, don't get me wrong. They had some ballers. They had Michael Thomas. They had Ezekiel Elliott. They had Eli Apple. I mean, like, your list goes on. They had Joey Bosa. They were good. But the thing about that is like going into this game, Wisconsin was a 4.5-point favorite. Okay. The rankings the week before was 1, Alabama, 2, Oregon, 3, TCU, 4, Florida State. Well, then Ohio State just whips Wisconsin's ass. 59-0, which just blows. That should never happen. Which is why it makes you wonder. And I'm not going to say it was fixed, but it was fixed to get their team in the playoffs. I looked it up today. I've done my research on it. How much money do you think a conference gets for a team in the semifinals? Anybody got a guess?
$12 million.
Well, I saw it earlier. I'll let Peyton guess.
It's $6 million.
Six.
But still, it's a lot of money. So going in, and now keep in mind, this is the interesting tidbit. TCU is in the Big 10, 12. They don't have a conference championship game at this point. TCU's playing Iowa State. And Baylor's playing some no-name as well. Baylor has one loss. They don't play each other. They don't play each other for a conference championship game. TCU wins. Baylor wins. TCU drops from 3-6. I just want you to tell me how that happens. But, of course, you know, Ohio State has that 59-0. The only way that they're getting a Big Ten team in the playoff is to have an annihilation. Well, they got it. And it makes you wonder, because anytime that there's big-time money, there's big-time corruption. I'll stand by that. Anytime, any day, it just, and what I'm getting at about how it's shaped college football today, I mean, the Big 12 has a championship game now, and that's directly based on this season. I mean, without that, they don't have a conference title. They don't need one. The BCS benefited them. I mean, Texas won a title with that in the BCS. I think Oklahoma did too a long time ago, 03 maybe. Is that correct, Josh? I feel like you'd know.
Say that one more time.
When was the last time Oklahoma won a national title? 03?
I know they made it and got blown out by Southern Cal in 02, I'm pretty sure. Or 03. But I don't know the last time they won a national title. That's a good question.
They also had a conference title game back then, now that I think about it. But they played it where they had, like, North and South divisions. Well, once they did away with divisions, they've got it now, so where everybody plays everybody and the two best teams play each other at the end. But what I'm getting at to connect it to this year is this is the 2019 SEC championship game. You've got a one-loss Georgia playing an undefeated LSU, who, if LSU loses, they're still a top four team. They're in. Them and Ohio State can lose this weekend and be in. LSU can lose and be in. Clemson can't. Georgia can't. Any other team can't. Which is whatever. You know, I can't even. But I won't be surprised if Georgia wins in some exhilarating fashion, and there are some controversial calls. Now, 59-0, you can't have controversial calls. And I don't know how you tell 75 kids to, hey, guys, go out there and lay down. Go out there and get your ass whooped for 60 minutes. Do it for the conference.
And that's why it's
not that's why it's BS.
See, that's the only argument against what I'm saying, I think.
You're a big conspiracy guy, Kenneth. You brought up a lot of conspiracy since this podcast has started. That's one thing I didn't know about you.
I think it had something to do with the Russians.
Yeah. I heard that Trump was actually at that game, and so he might have had a little something to do with the interference too.
That could be.
Yeah, I mean, it's strange stuff. You know, who would have expected a 4.5-point favorite to lose by 59? Not
to a third string quarterback. Right.
Now, given
that was crazy. I never would
given have they do, and they very well deserve to be there. They won the national title. They won.
Right.
So it's just that year shaped the playoff, and I think that's why we only need four teams too. I think it's fair.
I'm with you on that. I love four teams. It keeps the regular season.
We should have had Bagman on here when we were talking about that last week.
I was listening to a podcast and I was screaming. I was like, I need to talk to that son of a bitch. I need to tell him. The four-team playoff is the way to go,
absolutely,
baby.
Yeah.
Well, Josh, it is your time. I'm just looking at my notes right here, and it says conference championship parlay. Why don't you fill us in on that, big fella?
He's the king, of course.
Well, there you go. You need to introduce me as the parlay king for those that don't know.
So, Josh,
the parlay king is about to tell y'all a way to make a big load of money.
Mr. King.
I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to start with a foundation of Clemson laying 29 points. And I'll tell you why. Dabo's salty, just like we touched on. Peyton made that very clear. And the team's salty, too. And we have not, dude, we have not missed a spread. We're 10-2 against the spread. We've covered every single spread since September 28th. So that's going to be a lock right there. And then I'm also looking at Baylor +8. I swear to God, I almost put down the money line. I feel really good. And that kind of contradicts what I said, but I just got a weird feeling about Baylor this week. And then I'm just not a believer in Georgia at all. So I'm going to go LSU -7.5. So the parlay is going to be Clemson -29, Baylor +8, LSU -7.5.
Okay. No Ohio State. That's surprising.
No Ohio State. Even though I think they'll cover, I'm with you on that. I actually went against them last week, but I'm not going to throw them in there. It's a little bit too many. It's a little bit too much points right there in a championship game. I got it at 16.5 here.
Yeah.
And Wisconsin's playing pretty good right now.
Josh, I'm going to fact check you, just like you suggested that you were happy that I did Max last week with his math. You said that the last time Clemson did not cover a spread was September 28th. That is false. Clemson did not cover the spread against the Wofford Terriers.
You know, I'm not surprised you said that because I was trying. That was the one game I couldn't find the line for. Whenever I was making damn well sure I was going to be right. That's the one damn game.
Well, you were wrong. Sorry. But I do like your parlay. But for now, we are going to close it up, and we are going to head to me and Dante Cousart for a quick interview, the first of pod history. Well, everyone, we are live with the Two Dumbass and a Wise Guy show. You guys are listening to history. We have our first ever guest interview with Florida Atlantic senior wide receiver Dante Cousart. Dante, it's good to have you on. You know, we've been in me and you have been in contact for a little over a year now, following football, and met on Twitter, and that's This is the first time that we've ever spoke to each other. So that's it's kind of crazy that we've hung around for this long.
Definitely. Yeah, man. I appreciate you having me on here. It's nice to finally, you know, get to talk to you. We've been, like you said, in contact for over a year and a half now, just through Twitter. You know, college football, like I said, you know, can bring people together.
Yeah, it's an awesome game that it's the one thing that unites a whole. It can unite people of any, you know, any background, any shape, size, color. You got it. I mean,
I completely agree.
It's awesome. Definitely. But we're gonna dive right in. I don't want to keep you too long. We know you've got a conference championship to prepare for this week that we'll get to a little bit later.
Yes, sir.
We know you got hurt last year, a pretty bad injury at Marshall, right. A broken leg. What's that rehab process been like to get you back, you know, where you are with the team today?
Yeah. So, a little background on that, you know, I didn't really return punts till last year since senior year of high school, but, I'm back there third quarter against Marshall. We're at Marshall, catch a punt, probably like get like 6-7 yards, plant my foot in the ground, and the gunner just dives straight up my leg, and it was a clean break. My tib fib completely broken. I didn't really feel it, which was weird. I just looked down and I saw my leg was dangling. It was like really hot. Anyways, long story short, they bring me to the table. I go back, get x-rays, even though it was clearly snapped, and I had to stay up in West Virginia. My mom in the meantime is just a nervous wreck. I'm sure you can, just already imagine. But yeah, so we're up in Huntington Hospital in West Virginia, man. And, I get surgery like 6 hours later. I get there. First surgery, first time in a hospital, actually. People were really nice. I got to give them, I got to give them a lot of credit. But so we do that. Coach Holiday, the Marshall coach, came, said hello. He's good friends with my high school coach. He's a really nice guy. The D coordinator, the athletic director, they all came, said hello. Some fans of Marshall, you know, they were really nice people.
Wow.
Yeah, they really made it as good of a stay as it could be. Anyways, but yeah, so the rehab, though, man. So, well, we end up leaving there, and one of my trainers stayed back, and we had a like drive 3 hours to, I'm pretty sure it was either Cincinnati or Cleveland, probably Cincinnati, Ohio, to get a one-way flight back to Florida. We get there, it was miserable. I'm on, you know, the medicine and whatever. We get back to Florida, and next day I start my rehab. But so basically with the rehab, you know, obviously there was struggles, a lot of mental, because dude, without your leg, like, I don't know, you know,
yeah, I mean,
I've never been on crutches or whatever, and this is the first time. It was awful, but it took, honestly, it took about The first month was rough. It was very rough because I couldn't even get out of bed on my own. I couldn't even bend my knee because they had to put a metal rod straight through my knee, down to my ankle with screws, all that. Once I could start kind of, so I was on crutches for about a month, and then I moved down to a cane for like two weeks, and then after that I was kind of just limping around. But the first month was tough, and then it took about 3 months before I really was starting to do some real workouts. And then about the 5 month period was spring ball, and I was really trying to get back fast. So I participated in spring ball, but only non-contact. I was still limping. So yeah, man, it's been quite a journey for sure.
Yeah, no joke. I'm sure of that. It's kind of like you said, you don't know what you have until it's gone, and not being able to get out of bed on your own just sounds miserable.
Miserable.
Well, I mean, you've stepped up, obviously, with returning punts. You're still back there, correct?
Right. Yep.
Yeah. We the one thing I got to get on to you, and I got on to you when you did it, was you dropped that you muffed a punt against Ohio State. We can't be having that.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, man. I remember that. I remember that as clear as day. But yeah, it was just first. It was the first game back, Ohio State. My first start at slot receiver as well. But yeah, man. I kind of lost track of the ball. It was just that punter just boomed it, and I like muffed it real quick. Thank God I got it back, obviously. But yeah, we got started with the ball at the 4 yard line. I would have just let it bounce in the end zone if I knew where it was. But yeah, I remember you getting on me. I was like, I got you.
So what was it like playing in Ohio State? Is that the biggest stadium you played in?
Yeah, so the Shoe, man, it was incredible. My mom's a Michigan fan though, so like so you already know with that. But I got to give them credit, man. That stadium was beautiful. The atmosphere was awesome. I would say it's the biggest stadium. We played at Oklahoma last year against Kyler and all them.
That's right.
That stadium was big. They weren't as like electrifying really, but that's probably cuz they blew us out pretty early, honestly. But both stadiums, man, it's just different. You know, those Power Five schools, those stadiums are different, man. But the Horseshoe was beautiful. The campus was beautiful. So it was a really great experience.
Yeah. I know you mentioned that was your first game back, first game starting slot wide receiver. And if I'm reading this correctly, that would be your first game as a scholarship athlete.
Yes, definitely. Yep. You're in. That's awesome, man.
Walk us through that whole process when you were awarded the scholarship.
Yeah, man. So probably like 9 months in after my injury, I was really making a lot of progress. I'd say about 8 months, but making a lot of progress. And it's coming up on camp, and I already knew what time it was, man. Like, I was, you know, obviously that's every walk-on's goal and dream is to earn a scholarship, you know?
Right.
You know, obviously I love the rings. I love winning with the boys. Like, I love the team. But just a personal goal was obviously the scholarship. So it's about a week. It's a week till camp, and, you know, I'm pushing myself so hard because I got to get this scholarship for like my own personal, you know, just achievement, you know? So Coach Kiff brings me into the office, and he sits me down, and he asks me, he's like, look, like how are you feeling? You know, I see you still limping and blah, blah, blah. Like we might need this camp spot, like roster spot for camp. And right then I'm like, you know, obviously I was like, wow, I can't believe like I might not even go to camp. So I honestly just told him, I was like, look, coach, I feel 100% right now. I'm limping for whatever reason, you know, I'm just fatigued a little bit, but just give me two practices to show you, you know, just give me two to show you that I can, you know, contribute to this team this year. So he gave me that chance. He gave me the opportunity. Once football starts, man, you can kind of just hide those little injuries under the rug, the little nagging, sure, you know, knee pain and this and that. It's just, it's different compared to when you're just running 110s all day. But yeah, so we start camp. Camp's going really well. It's about 100 degrees every day down here in Florida. Camp life is camp life, meetings all day, but I was really, you know, doing a great job. Just, I got to thank my coaches for just putting me in the great position they did. About a week in, he calls up one of the left guards and he awards him a scholarship. Nick Weber, kid's a beast, man. He deserves it. He earned it, whatever. Great kid. Like, love him. One of my good friends. He's a monster. Long story short, though, well, a little bit before that, he actually he brought me in and he kind of talked to me about them wanting to put me on scholarship probably like 3 months before camp. But, you know, obviously nothing's, you know, set in stone. All right. Sorry. Yeah. So where was I? Okay. So he puts Nick Weber on scholarship and we're ecstatic for him, man. But at this point, all the other kids are like kind of counting like how many scholarships are left. And I'm just trying to focus on just me, you know what I'm saying? Like me getting better. Right. So I can contribute to the team as much as possible. So I'm not really too worried about that. And then I'd say probably like a week before camp ends, Coach Kiff walks up to me. We're in pre-practice warm-ups. And he's like, hey, I know we talked about the scholarship, but you never signed the paper, right? And I knew. So I was like, no, sir. I didn't. And he's like, all right, well, after today, he's like, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to do a little skit at the end of practice and it's going to just be me and you. No one else is going to know. And after, you know, you'll come up and sign them. So obviously right away, man, I was like so hyped. I was ecstatic. Obviously I was keeping my composure though. So I kept my composure, but I had a great day. I had like 3 touchdowns and team, all that. I was going nuts. So, long story short, practice ends. He calls us up. We take a knee, like always, and he's going through his routine stuff. And then he starts bashing the receivers. And we've been bashed in the past, like for, you know, being lazy, whatever. But he starts bashing us, like, receivers, you guys are dropping balls. Awful day. DBs kicked your ass all day. Blah blah blah. Same yada yada yada. And I stand up and I'm like, that's bullshit. And everyone's like looking at me like, what that, like, no way Dante just did this, like, no way he just did this. And Kiff, like, he just kind of like waves me off, like, be quiet. And I take a knee again and he starts doing it again. And I got up again. I was like, that's bullshit, coach. And everyone's like, I was like, you're ripping the receivers, blah blah blah, we run 5 miles a day, blah blah blah. And Kiff and I are going back and forth, like, arguing. And he's like, shut the hell up. And the coaches are like, Dante, sit down, man. What are you doing? Like, sit down. And the players are in awe, man. Their faces were hilarious. And so Kiff's like, get him out of here. So I start storming off the field. I, like, toss my helmet. I'm like, this is bullshit, whatever. No one but him and I knew. And he goes, yeah, and in the meantime, y'all go get him and tell him he's on scholarship. So everyone came and rushed me. Obviously, it was a great feeling, man. It was just hilarious because nobody but him and I knew, not even like the assistant head coach. So they're all like freaking out, man. But it was hilarious. But it's a blessing, man. It was a long road, man.
That's awesome, man. I can say congratulations on that. I know how hard you worked to get back from injury to where you were then and where you are now. Hearing that story is just that's twice as funny as I could ever imagined it being.
Right. Yeah.
And I mean, I'm sure being there, you know, for you to play a trick on your teammates and everybody getting fed up and thinking like, oh my God, what is this idiot doing?
Right. Dude, the funniest part to me was one of the, my receivers came up to me after and he was like, Dante, you don't know how close I was to standing up and defending you, bro. Imagine if he came up like, yeah, he's right. Oh my gosh.
Oh.
Yeah. Because the best part was I was hyping it up all day to the receivers. I'm like, bro, honestly, I'm tired of Coach Kiffin trying us. I'm going to say something. And they're like, nah, dude, don't. Definitely.
Golly.
Set it up good.
That's great. That's I I guess I haven't seen the video of it. I thought that there was like a video that they released of it.
Right.
And it
was
something about like you missing class is what I thought it was.
I didn't walk for my graduation for practice. I didn't want to do the ceremony. It was long, but they were like, oh, he missed graduation to come to practice. Wow. But it's not even that really crazy, man. You know, we had to grind. So,
yeah, I mean, for sure. No doubt. You've played with some awesome guys with, your boy Singletary Bills now.
Yeah.
But, I'll have to say that I think my favorite acquaintance with you is, I've got to appeal. We have a large, audience, as you may know. So there are a couple of females that listen. So, I want to know how you're friends with Tyler Cameron and how that has come about. And, the infamous tweet that he tweeted back at LeBron.
Right.
Your name's been thrown around with the king.
Right, right. The king and Tyler Cameron, the other king, huh? Yeah, man. So, Jesus, my bad. So Tyler and I, we're from the same hometown. We're both from Jupiter, Florida. He's always been.
Shout out Tiger Woods.
Yep, Tiger. Jordan has a house over there.
Yep, right.
Tiger's has a really nice restaurant over there. Well, maybe if you visit, we'll take you there one day.
That sounds good to me.
Definitely. But yeah, man. So Tyler, he's a really good guy, man. I've known him since high school. He went to my rival high school, Jupiter High. I went to school down the street, Dwyer. I played with his younger brother, Austin, at Dwyer. He played DN for us. He was a really good player. But yeah, man, so Tyler, you know, he's always been a really athletic guy. Oh, someone's knocking on the door.
Uh-oh.
One sec. Yeah, Tyler's always been – come in, you're good. Yeah, you're good. My bad.
You're good.
Go ahead, man. Sorry about that. You're good.
We keep it as real as we can here.
Hey, no filter. I'll go outside real quick. But yeah, sorry about that.
You're good.
Yeah, man. So Tyler and I, Jupiter, you know, I've always known him for a while. We would throw, run routes. He was a quarterback, obviously. And then he went to Wake Forest, and then he ended up transferring here to play tight end at Florida Atlantic. We've always been close, man, because my two roommates right now were tight ends. So he was always over and all that. But yeah, and then I just couldn't believe it that I really saw him go on the Bachelorette or whatever, Bachelorette. But the funniest part about it all, man, is the way he ended up on there. His ex-girlfriend's little brother, who was like 14 years old at the time, submitted him for it as a joke.
Oh my goodness.
And it ended up going all the way to what it is now.
Yeah.
But like I said, man, he's an awesome guy. He's as real as it as it gets, man. He hasn't acted any different way. He keeps in touch with the boys. He's visited a few times, but yeah, man, I can't believe he's where he is now, you know?
Yeah, I mean, no doubt. He went from a tight end at Wake to tight end at FAU to Dayton Gigi Hadid.
Gigi Hadid with 2 million followers and all that.
Oh, my.
I know, man. I remember before the first episode aired, one of my good friends from home, his mom and I would always watch it, Kelly English. I was like, watch, I'm going to screenshot his Instagram page right now. He had 4,000 followers. After the first episode aired, he had like 23K, bro.
That's wild.
Too funny.
I might have to tweet your interview out to him and see if he can share it to his. However, man, I'm sure he's got over 200,000 followers now.
Yeah, man.
They could listen to this.
Definitely. Something like that.
Oh, for sure. Well, my second favorite acquaintance is the man, the myth, the legend. You talked about him. He's arguably the most polarizing figure in football the past 15 years.
Right.
Coach Kiff, Daddy Lane.
Yeah.
That's my guy. What what's the funniest story outside of you getting put on scholarship? What's the funniest story involving him that you can tell us?
Well, to keep it PG, man.
Yeah, that's why I said. So you can tell us.
Right. No. He's awesome, man. But the one that comes to mind right away every single time is like the first time, like the first night they got here, like they were announced as head coach or whatever, got into town. We were all going out to this club called Club Boca. And we see him and like a bunch of other people just meeting and everybody, and everyone was freaking out. He had about like 200 people in line at the club waiting just to take a picture with him.
That's but, I'm not surprised.
No, not at all. But he's a you know, public figure here, man. Like you said, he's been a public figure for years in the college football scene and all that. But he has a very awesome sense of humor, and he knows how to really get people going too.
No doubt. He's I think he'll probably run for mayor of Boca one day.
one day.
I think he would win in a landslide.
Definitely. He has everyone's support, man. He's a great coach. He knows ball better than anybody. His dad, Coach Monty Kiffin, he's a legend himself, man. But I'm just very grateful to have him and to have the opportunity to be with such a, you know, knowledgeable guy.
For sure. That's awesome. Well, the last thing that I'm going to touch on before you go is obviously we've got the CUSA championship.
Yes, sir.
This weekend. It is a home game for you guys. Yep. So y'all get to play. And just looking, you don't have to say, but it looks like y'all are supposed to win.
Okay.
So I don't remember last year. Did you win the conference last year?
So last year we didn't have too good of a year. We went like 5-7, whatever it was. But the year before we won the conference, same record going in, actually 9-3. We won it that year. And, you know, it was at home that year again. That was against North Texas. We played them back-to-back weeks, I'm pretty sure. But, yeah, we haven't played UAB yet. Couple years, but they're a very solid team. They got some really good players, good coaches, so it should be a really exciting game, man.
Yeah, I hope so. We hope everyone here on the Two Dumbass and a Wise Guy show, we hope to see you in the end zone,
definitely
for the first time in your career.
Yep.
So, what? I know we talked about it a while back, but what? Just so everyone listening knows, when you do find the end zone on Saturday, what are you going to do to celebrate that? That's for me. It's for Ken.
I'm gonna point to the camera and just know. Just know it's for you.
Just know. That's for Ken.
I'm gonna point to the camera, hit my chest, and that's for you.
Well, I'll tell you, I'll be in Charlotte for the ACC title game.
That'll be fun for Clemson.
If it comes to me, I'm gonna point to the camera and beat my chest twice.
Definitely. Y'all just handle business, man. Clemson will be all right.
I hope so. But anyways, man, thanks for your time. I'm grateful for our friendship, everything. Glad I got to talk to you. This has been awesome. We appreciate having you on. Have a good week at practice. Go out.
Yes, sir.
And never forget, man. Come to the FAU.
Yes, sir. Come to the FAU. I appreciate it, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. Take care, man. Thank you.
Well, I want to thank Dante for his time this afternoon as he prepares for the Conference USA Championship game versus UAB. Awesome kid. Really, really glad that we've gotten to talk over several, I guess about a year and a half now. Awesome, awesome interview. Fun talking to him. It was good. We're happy to have him on, and he's welcome back anytime. With that, we're going to wrap up. We have our week 15 pick 'em. Max, we don't have any picks for yet. We'll get those and we'll tweet them out. Josh, you are our first celebrity guest picker. Congratulations. You're the best celebrity guest picker that we've ever done.
We need to get a video of like walking off the plane and everything. Oh, like college game day.
Yes, sir.
Wheels up, baby.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, we'd have to, if we did Josh, we'd have to get a video of him getting into a rental car with Enterprise. We'll pick you up.
That's right.
Oh, God. Bad memories.
With a money bag in his thing, taking it to old Trevor Lawrence at the doorstep. Right.
We're going to win more national championships, baby.
Well, you know, it's funny because I actually, in the Clemson section on Saturday, it's funny that you talk about paying Trevor Lawrence. I saw fans pass around a bucket for the tithes and offerings because New Spring, we weren't going to make it back on Sunday.
I thought it was the South Carolina fans passing around a bucket to pay out old Will Muschamp's buyout.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that. I have a buddy, Dale from Edgefield, who told me that if everybody in the seats in Williams-Brice gave $240, they could get rid of him. But that's for another story. We're gonna get right into pick 'em. I'm gonna start with our first game. We have Utah -6 versus Oregon. I'm going to go with my buddy Max, and I'm going to get on the Oregon bandwagon. I'm going to take the points. I think this is a close game. I do think Utah wins, but I don't think they cover 6. Peyton, what do you think happens out west on Friday night?
Well, hopefully I can get back on the right track here. Last week was kind of rough, but I'm going to say Utah. I think you talk about the fix being in. Well, Utah needs to – they need to win this game pretty good to make sure they feel really safe going into the playoff selection. So, Utah -6.
Josh, this one was not in your parlay.
Yeah. I kind of fall in line with you, Kenneth. I think Utah is going to win the game, but I think Oregon covers. It's going to be a great quarterback matchup with Herbert and Huntley. And I think both teams are complete teams, so it'll be a good game to watch for sure. It's going to be a close one.
That'll be fun on Friday night. And we're already split. We got 2-1 split on the first game. Second game, we've got the Big 12. We've got Baylor getting 8 points versus the Sooners. Josh, I'm going to take it back to you.
And, yep. So like I said in the parlay, we got Baylor +8. It's a revenge game, and they were whooping Oklahoma's ass in the regular season until they just completely fell apart. So hopefully they can play a full game this time. And I would not be surprised to see them pull out an upset.
Well, I'm going to make it another split game. I don't know where Peyton's going to go, but give me the Sooners -8. I think that they are they're going to step on the gas early and often compared to the last time that they played. Jalen Hurts, shout out. He was my quarterback on my college fantasy team. Led me straight from the 4 seed through the playoffs to the championship. You know who you are listening. I was happy to beat you. Sorry you had to come in second, big guy. But I'm going with the Sooners. Peyton?
Yep, I'm going to roll with you. I'm going to take Oklahoma here. This is going to be a big stage, AT&T Stadium, and Jalen Hurts and Lincoln Riley have been there a few more times than Matt Rhule and Charlie Brewer, I think's the guy's name, quarterback for Baylor. So,
Yep.
They're experienced. Give me Oklahoma.
Well, we've got a lesser-known game, App State -6 versus Louisiana Lafayette, the Raging Cajuns. Peyton, I'm going to ignore you because I know you're going to pick App. You're obligated to pick App. You know,
that's
I'm
true.
Picking App, too. I think this is going to be our first unanimous pick. They're a good team. I don't think they're a top 25 team, but they're better than Louisiana Lafayette is. So, Josh, what do you think? You're going to roll with your boy Billy Napier, or we going to roll with the Mountaineers?
We're going to roll with the Mountaineers. I'm going App State -6.
We have a rematch of last week's game. The spread has kind of changed. It's going to be in the same stadium. Memphis is -9 versus Cincy. Peyton, since you're talking privileges were revoked, we're going to go to you.
Yep. I'm going to go with Memphis here. They're in that spot to get that New Year's Six game as the highest 18th ranked, as the highest group of five team. So I think they'll be focused and they'll cover.
Josh, any thoughts?
Yeah, kind of weird playing back-to-back games like this. I'm actually going to go with Cincinnati getting the points. Really no reason behind it. I just, you know, I'm going to go with Cincinnati.
I'm going to go Memphis again. After watching, I watched a good bit of last week's game. It was funny. I think Memphis was way better team, but Cincinnati just covered the 12.5 in the end. Memphis is going to win this one in a landslide. Next up, we've got the Rainbow Warriors, Hawaii, playing the Smurf Blue Turf, Boise State. The Broncos are giving up 13.5 points. I'm going with the Turf. I think this one's going to be another sweep across the board. Peyton, what you think?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Boise State. Maybe just in honor of Chris Peterson stepping down. They'll do it for their old ball coach.
Josh, what you got?
I got Hawaii plus 13.5. That's a lot of points in the championship game, especially whenever it's not Clemson giving the points. So we're going to go ahead and go with Hawaii.
All right. The big game, which will be in Atlanta. SEC title game, dogs getting 7.5 versus the LSU Tigers and Coach Ed Orgeron. Josh, what you got, big fella?
Well, like I was talking about that LSU A&M game this past week, I'm really impressed with them. I think they're starting to hit their stride. Defense is coming along. I'm going to go with LSU -7.5.
Well, I'm going to go against you. Give me the dogs.
Oh. Is that a money line after your conspiracy soapbox bet?
Yes. It sure is a money line.
I think the dogs pull off the upset and get the two teams in. I think you're gonna give the 7.5, Peyton.
Yeah, I'm going to take LSU. It appears like you're going to have to score on almost every possession to beat LSU, and I don't know if Georgia's offense can do that, especially missing their couple of their best wide receivers. And we've already spoke about how they're thin. So LSU.
Well, Josh, I'm going to skip over you on this one. I know you've already said you like Clemson -29. I'm in the same boat.
Yes, sir.
Peyton, I hope you are.
Well, I find this line pretty curious because Virginia is in the ACC championship, and the line is 28.5. Well, so that's telling me Clemson was favored by what over South Carolina? 27.5? Mm-hmm. So a
yes,
team
sir.
Playing in the ACC championship on a neutral field would be around a 3-point favorite to 4-8 South Carolina.
Well, Peyton, listen, I really hate to bring this up, but about a calendar year ago, your team played Virginia in that same stadium and didn't score.
Hey, well, listen here. Like Lou Holtz said, you got a different team every week. You sure got a different team once a year turns.
Well, you can have Virginia for whatever you want to play for. That's cool, you know, whatever.
No. I'm on side with Clemson here.
Oh,
I can't get
my
one.
God. What? How? You can't do that.
Damn. I got a side with Clemson here. Virginia and South Carolina apparently are pretty similar teams. We saw what Clemson just did to us. So, Clemson.
What?
You would like that, Peyton.
Oh, me.
The last game on our pick'em slate is Ohio State -16.5 versus Wisconsin. What do you got, Peyton?
I'm going to go with Ohio State. They just look too good. They look too good right now. Much like LSU, you got to score on almost every possession, and I can't see Wisconsin doing that.
Josh, you think they cover? I think you said that.
Yeah. And, you know, last week I went against Ohio State. I was texting my cousin who went to Michigan. I was telling him all week, I said, it's going to be a big Michigan week this week. Y'all just took down the Tar Heels in basketball. You're going to take down the Buckeyes in football. And that sure as hell didn't happen. So I'm going to stick with Ohio State.
I know I said that was our last game, but in honor of our special guest, I'm going to add FAU minus 7.5 versus the UAB Blazers. And I'm going to pick for everyone, go Owls.
Absolutely.
You, baby.
Absolutely. Go Owls. Thank you for coming on. The
train is rolling.
Go Owls, baby.
And we're gonna get my boy Dante in the end zone for the first time in his career.
Yeah.
But
he said he's gonna give you a shout out.
Yeah, he did.
Y'all look for it, folks.
He did. That wraps up week four. Josh, I appreciate you filling in for Max. Max, we hate you couldn't be here.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
I'm signing off. Good night, everybody.
Yep.